Hey, welcome to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie and co-host Chief Todd LaDuke. Folks, if you like our podcast, if you would, please give it a great rating out there on your podcast platform and share it with your friends. The more we can all pull together for the health and wellness of all first responders, the greater our country will be. We appreciate you.
Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Hey, folks, this is Dr. Donnie, and I am telling you I'm excited that the Get Balanced podcast has an official sponsor, and I want to tell you a little bit about that. And it is FirstNet, built with the AT&T. And what I want to tell you about them is probably part of it is that many of you already know this, but for first responders and frontline workers, communication, as we know, is not a luxury, but it's a lifesaver. And that's why FirstNet, built with AT&T, was created. Now, the FirstNet mission is to make communication faster, safer, and more collaborative for first responders and other public safety personnel. FirstNet helps first responders and frontline workers connect when they are on and off duty. They get access to priority and preemption capabilities. This means they connect to the network first. In emergency situations, first responders move to the front of the line to access critical bandwidth they need to send and receive, whether it's voice, data, video, images, and text. Now, during an emergency, FirstNet is a critical connection between first responders to technology and also to each other, giving them access to information quickly and when every second counts. With FirstNet, first responders and frontline workers get a highly secure, reliable network with 24/7, 365 customer care and monitoring. Now, to get more information about FirstNet, go visit your local AT&T store or visit firstnet.com. Now, let me go in and introduce our guest for this week. Hey, folks, you're listening to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast. I am Dr. Donnie and my co-host, retired Chief Todd LaDuke, and also the Chief Strategy Officer of LifeScan Wellness Centers. Todd, let me turn it over to you and let you introduce our guest today.
Sounds great. Thanks, Donnie. Always, as I say it every edition, it's great pleasure and honor. I'm having great fun working with you and the guests that are on here, and not only our colleagues, but most in all cases are friends, and no different today. We've got a great guest on. Many of you likely may know Tony Carroll from his fire engineering podcast that he does, and I'll let him talk a little bit about that. But Tony, why don't we talk, if I can ask you, Donnie tells me every week that we've got a large audience, some of it international listeners. So for folks maybe that don't know you, or they know of you through the podcast, but maybe not your entire journey, maybe if you can start just by telling, introducing yourself and talking a little bit about your journey into the fire service. And I know you've spent some time up in DC, and you've got a new venture you're on now. And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. All right. Well, thanks guys for calling me and having me on. I've been in the fire service for a long time, right? I live in Woodbridge, Virginia, which is about 25 miles south of Washington, D.C. I've grown up here. My parents moved here when I was two. Then we went away for a few years in Hawaii, for my dad was military, came back, and I've been here ever since. So 50 plus years here in this area. Started the fire service with my local volunteer fire department at 15 years old. They had a junior program. And once I got my foot in the door, it was, I was hooked. I was really hooked. And so as a volunteer, That opened up some doors, right? My first career job was with the Quantico Fire Department, which Quantico is about 10 miles south of here where I live. They would hire full-time firefighters for when they opened up their officer candidate school. So it was only like 2 months in the summertime. So then I went back, I was doing some odd stuff, trying to go to college. Then I got on with the Alexandria Fire Department in right here, just south of DC again, city, a small place, like 15 square miles. We had 8 engines then, a couple of trucks and stuff. So I wasn't satisfied yet. So then I saw DC opened up. I went to DC where I spent 29 years. I retired from DC after a great career. I was really blessed. And I retired May of this year, May 19th. May 24th, I started in Louisa County, Virginia, which, if you're familiar with Virginia, Richmond on one side, Charlottesville on the other, and Fredericksburg on the north, Louisa lays in the middle of that. Big county, 520 some square miles, only 40,000 people, really, really rural. But it has a lake there. It's got a Lake Anna, which was was built for the power plant. There's a nuclear power plant. There's a bunch of firemen down there. We have a neighborhood, we have a place in. So that kind of introduced me to Louisa. And then Chief Dubay, who I knew from up here, kind of introduced me more. And I have a position there as a shift commander, running a shift of, 15 people. We just added a couple more. So I think with me, it's 18 on a shift. And we staff 4 firehouses with 4 people, 2 on an engine, 2 on a medic, and respond countywide. So it's interesting a lot. It's a new challenge. I forgot how much you rely on people and water, and they don't have very much of either. So it's going to be, it's a challenge. It's a learning experience. And guys down there were helping me learn that stuff. I can't say enough about my family. I have Heather is my wife. I've been married for 27 years. We got 3 kids. We have a 25-year-old. She just turned 25 yesterday. We have a 20-year-old who's in Buffalo, outside of Buffalo at college. Damon College is it. And then I have a 16-year-old who's at high school right now. So it's been good. Like I said, the fire service has been amazing through a couple of different things, whether it was International Society of Fire Service Instructors. I got in the UL Firefighter Safety Research Institute. And then the contacts have led me to meet different people like you two guys that we're here today with. In the middle of that, or I guess over the last few years, I started a Mayday Monday firefighter survival campaign. It was really designed around me as a company officer, when I had 3 or 4 guys that worked for me, and we would go out and do some practical training every Monday that we worked on firefighter survival, whether it was personal survival or RIT, rapid intervention, firefighter rescue stuff. That was a practical drill. As I progressed through the fire department, I got to be a captain of safety in the safety office. We have 1 captain, 1 safety officer per shift. So some guys are like, why don't you take that for the whole city? Because again, before I had a company, now I have a whole city. So it started to be a social media campaign. Reached out to DC fire departments, Twitter and Facebook, thinking that these young kids would be looking at Twitter and Facebook. Maybe this is a way to get into their mind to think about surviving the fire ground. So that's kind of where it started. It went from one Monday a month that I worked to every Monday for the whole city. So it went from 12 to 52. That got to be a pretty tough. While this was going on, I met Chief Halton at Fire Engineering at the Congressional Fire Services dinner one night. He was like, hey, send it to me. We'll put it in Fire Engineering. That's what happened with that. Then it got to be once a month, the first Monday of every month, we would produce really tied into a line of duty death that happened. right? Whatever, however it was. Send that out, send out some tips, send out maybe a link to the report came out after that, and then came up with some kind of a skill drill that you could use to apply the lessons learned or apply some lessons that might tie to that line of duty death to your fire career. Back in this earlier this year, we started the podcast where we were interviewing people who survived or who may have maybe a subject matter expert like you, Chief, when we called you up about heart health, really. And it was appropriate. We were talking about a friend, I think that was, we were talking about Chief Lieutenant McCray from DC, who passed away from a heart attack.
Absolutely.
And tie that in. So now I just got done this past Monday, we released the one that I interviewed some firefighters from Wilmington, Delaware. Horrible fire. Three firefighters were killed in that fire. And these two guys that were on the fire, and then a retired chief from, I think he might've been a captain, retired from that, who did some Mayday training. And these guys really touching, emotional interview that hopefully brings it home to the people who watch that and can think, you know, this could happen to me. So how can we keep it from happening?
No, that's, I want to say, wow. And just, you know, you've had such a long career in legacy of service. I will say, I think, like myself, you failed the retirement test miserably. I think you've got me beat. I got one day of retirement. It sounds like maybe you get a couple, but you're too young and you have too much talent not to continue giving back to the service. I knew Chief Dubé is lucky to have you, you know, as he builds that department. And, you know, I wanted to, you know, we just a short amount of time with you today, and I know we'll certainly have you back, I'm sure, as a future guest as well. But I wanted maybe to spend a little bit of time, just because it's near and dear to me. I know that LifeScan provides annual early detection physicals for some of the departments you mentioned: Louisa, Alexandria, Arlington, Charlottesville. One of the reasons I'm so passionate is, we know from the NIOSH reports, that so many of our cardiac sudden deaths are preventable. And I was really honored, Chief Halton is a great mentor and friend, to many. I was honored to come on and with him and with you and talk about, I never had the honor of meeting Lieutenant McCray, but his story and his loss is really, unfortunately, one we continue to see. I don't want to say daily, but you know, we know it continues to be the leading cause of on-duty firefighter deaths. I think the work by Denise Smith tells us somewhere between, for every fatality, there's about 17 to 27 non-fatal events, right? So someone has a non-fatal, they survive it, but they're cardiac cripples. They'll never, you know, return to a normal daily activity. So I wonder maybe if you can just talk about, because it really struck a chord in me that you took this Mayday Monday and really transitioned it from what I think people think of a traditional Mayday as. But how you superimpose that, and maybe we need to start thinking of our health and our baseline health as a Mayday in many cases, potentially too. So can you touch on that just a little bit? I know that's a real broad question, but talk a little bit maybe about Lieutenant McCray and his story in the hopes that, for our listeners out there that maybe aren't focusing, or their departments aren't focusing on comprehensive annual physicals, the importance of it.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you dig down into what happened to Kevin, you're right. That is, it's happening all the time, right? And there are ticking time bombs walking around, riding on fire trucks right now. And for so long, it was the, and I think it still is in places. I think it is. Yes, it's the elephant in the room, right? 50%, if you know, for a year, I think it may be a little less, right? Of our line of duty deaths are cardiac related events. And as sexy as it is to think about RIT, about using the RIT pack and going in and rescuing somebody or doing the Denver drill or the Columbus drill or, you know, doing all these things, there are very few firefighters dying inside of burning buildings. I mean, what was it, 2017, we had one firefighter die in a burning building? So if I hear the social media stuff, as much as it can be a bad thing, I hear the social media people ringing the bell. Hey, you know, you talk about people that we shouldn't get on roofs because people are dying. Well, what about this? What about health stuff? When are you going to have a class at FDIC that covers that, right? So I was like, okay, you're absolutely right. If we're going to talk about firefighter line of duty deaths, let's talk about all of the line of duty deaths. So while I like to focus on rapid intervention and SCBA stuff, it's heart attacks. I've known, and as if you stay in the service long enough, you know people who have died in the line of duty. I'm unfortunate to have, I can name several that I would call friends, someone I could call on the phone and say, hey, right, that have died in the line of duty. Kevin was, really a great guy. And I can remember coming up in the fire service with Kevin. He got appointed to the engine next to my engine right before I did. So I got appointed in 92 to engine 16, right downtown, first through to the White House. And Kevin was on engine 6. Engine 6 was like the fire factory. You know, I mean, it was definitely the place to be. 16, we would go to a lot of fire alarms, right? We had a lot of runs, but we didn't have as much fire as 6 did. Anyways, Kevin was on 6. Another guy, Wally Gooding, was also appointed at the same, about the same time I was. We all came on about the same time. So I remember, you know, we would go on fires where I could see engine 6. I could see engine 6 going down 9th Street. We're going down 10th Street, right? Trying to go nose to nose, who's going to beat him in. So that I remember Kevin from that. And Kevin was always smile, light up the room, was in good companies, really good companies. Again, as a firefighter, as a private, he went from engine 6 to rescue squad 1. When he was promoted, he was in good companies then too. I was in good companies. I was blessed as well. So, you know, and like I said, because Kevin was, I remember going up with him, you kind of follow along in his career. And the last, I was promoted to a spot at engine 3, right by the first duty of the Capitol. And engine 3 was a paramedic engine. Engine 6 was not a paramedic engine. So we would run a lot of the ALS calls in engine 6's area. And it was so close enough that they would not even put engine 6 on it. So they would just put engine 3. So it seemed like engine 3 now was taking all of engine 6's medical calls. So I made a map out for Christmas. I made a map and I highlighted all of these buildings that they don't go to anymore, that we go to. And I'm like, hey, just in case you might forget, this is where these places are, and gave it to Kevin. And of course, Kevin, you know, took it really well. But Kevin was the guy. I mean, he was the poster child probably for DC Fire. If I was going to put somebody on a recruitment and retention poster, it would be him. Grew up in DC, went to DC schools, got into our cadet program, which is, you know, younger people that they hire, and they put him through like a whole year of stuff. He got that. He went to engine 6, you know, he got promoted. He came back to engine 6, his son's on the job. So, I mean, that was the guy. And for him to die this way, right. Because nobody talked about it. We might talk about, hey, look, man, you can't get dressed fast enough. You need to work on getting dressed. Maybe he can't get dressed fast enough because he's getting obese, right? Because he's not taking care of himself. But we don't talk about that. We'll say, hey, work on this. So when for Kevin to die that way, I mean, our poster child to have this happen, And then when you peel back the layers of the onion and realize, man, he was not healthy. You know, what are we going to do? So I think that the Mayday Monday, right, was my shot at trying to say, hey, look, yes, firefighter survival is not just about surviving the fire ground, but I mean, it is, right? Because Kevin didn't leave the fire ground, not because of the fire, but because of his own health. So we have to do something. And yes, so I'll address Mayday Monday. We'll use it. We'll use that to address all of these issues. Right. We even did one on I did one on violence, surviving violence on the fire ground. Right. After the PG County guy Skillet, they went knocking on a door for a welfare check. And the guy inside opens fire on him. And that was about the same time there was a case out in California where a firefighter also was shot. So, I mean, it's not just, you know, fire ground stuff. Again, the cool things to go train on. I think Mayday Mondays, we can use it, right, to talk about all of these things.
Yeah, no, you know, you've got a wonderful platform, and that's, you know, same with Dr. Donnie and myself trying to use this platform to bring awareness, I guess, for lack of a better word. You know, and you mentioned Kevin and you know, his really memory and hopefully his legacy by sharing his story, you know, can benefit others. You know, we know, I mean, you know, the work that NIOSH Vitality has done. You know, there's a study out there by Dr. Yang looking at firefighter fatalities from cardiac. You know, we know 80% have an enlarged left heart and subclinical underlying cardiovascular disease. Tragically, both of those can be screened for and addressed. And we also know 64% of the fatalities were obese. And, you know, our last episode that we just taped, we talked about, you know, being a tactical athlete, you know, whether you're going to the roof, whether you're, you know, first attack.
Todd, you went mute.
Thanks, Tony. Modern technology today, you got to love it. More likely operator error. You know, I was just saying, we know from the, you know, the NIOSH reports, you know, 80% of our cardiac deaths have enlarged left heart and a combination of subclinical coronary artery disease. Both can be screened for, both can be treated. In 63, I mean, this is the part, you know, we talk about tactical athletes and compare firefighters that we need to perform as tactical athletes, yet 63% of the fatalities are obese. So it's definitely, you know, it's not only do we need to talk the talk, but we as a service need to, in my humble opinion, need to, you know, walk the walk. And
if I could jump in there a little bit, Todd, is that, Tony, one thing that we don't know each other, but haven't shared, is that when I talk about work-life balance, where my research that happened just a couple of years ago is all about how well work-life balance, basically how well we take care of ourselves, our physical self, our psychological, social, and spiritual, and how that leads to being more effective in your career and more effective with your families. So it's sort of like that self-care is it's foundational for everything else. And just as you guys are talking about, we see that, you know, I think with the work-life balance, as I take it, it's just not taking care of ourselves so we don't have the heart attack on the fire ground, but, you know, are we shoring up our families at home? Are we, you know, doing what we need to be effective in that area of life? Because of course that spills over into that mental resiliency piece as well. You know, if things are going well at home and you are doing well with your physical part of that mental health as well, we're starting to see, you know, it seems like it makes a lot of common sense that, hey, that provides more resiliency and you're going to be in better shape on that fire ground. What are your thoughts on that, if you would?
I think, right. It's the whole package. And I totally agree with you. And I can take that, you know, again, you can tell that I've spent a lot of life in the fire service. Thankfully, the fire service introduced me to my wife. And now, you know, we've all kind of grown up into that stuff. Now, I can tell you that while I haven't necessarily suffered, you know, the health stuff, I can definitely tell you that it has impacted the home life, right? The aid up, if you will, with the fire service definitely impacted that. So I can see that. I can tell you I had an injury. It's been 15, 16 years ago, I guess. It was 2005. So I broke my back. I was in a body cast for 3 months. Talk about life balance then.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's just the, so while you know, I had it pretty easy. my family were really impacted by that. My wife was. And while, you know, she understands the dangers of the job, I think she also understands the family part of the job too. But yes, no, I think it's an entire package that you have to balance everything. And so that then becomes, you know, when do you get healthy, right? Do you blame it? You know, do you say, well, they didn't give me time to work out on the job, right? Do you say, well, I didn't get an hour to work out. Well, I kind of view it as, you know, you're supposed to spend those. I worked a 24/72 schedule. So the 72 hours you're off, you're supposed to get ready for that 24 hours of beatdown, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, and it's all encompassing. You should get rested. You should eat well. You should sleep, that kind of stuff while you're getting ready for that 24 hours of work schedule. Yeah. So, I mean, it is tough, but you have that responsibility. And it starts with a balance at home, that you're not stressed out about that, those kinds of things, that you've got all that stuff going on. So that's where, right, I guess we need coaches on all of these things.
Yeah.
We have people to coach us through how to do our job in the fire service. Do we have help on how to balance the thing? So I think what you're doing with the work-life balance stuff is a great idea, something that we really haven't touched on as a service.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And it's been going very well. I do workshops around the country, and it is the most fulfilling work that I get to do, is doing the workshops. And people come up to me afterwards and say, you know, you've inspired me to be a better husband, a better father, and to, you know, get in shape, because I don't want to die. I want to be around for my kids, my grandkids. And you know, it can't be more rewarding than that. You know, I'm not teaching them how to fight the fire, but I'm teaching them the other stuff. Yeah.
So, you know, the great piece is, as you said, Tony, is, you know, we don't teach this, and you know, it's something I think we need to be, but as both of you touched on, it's all connect the dots. It's all interconnected, you know, whether you're talking about relationships and behavioral wellness or nutrition or fitness and survival, both within our own relationships and on the job. So if we neglect any one area, it gets out of balance pretty quickly. I know we want to be mindful of your time, and is there anything, Tony, that we didn't touch on that you'd like for our listeners and our audience to impart all your wisdom and service, that lessons along the way? I mean, we know there's a whole future generation coming up behind us, for us folks who've been on the job for, you know, any length of time, in our case, three plus decades.
I think we can touch back on Kevin thing, right? So, and again, it's, we hope that we have a long career. So, and I even remember too, going to get my physicals, my annual physicals, and you might go in and say, they would say, hey, you gained a couple pounds over last year. And you would consider that a success, right? A two pound gain, it's not bad. But, you know, make that 20 years later and you keep doing 2 pounds a year, that's 40 pounds. That's a, you know, another appendage or something. That's, you're carrying around a lot of stuff there. So, and we know that the physiological effects of firefighting, So, and, you know, yes, I know fires are, you don't go to as many fires, but you're definitely, you know, up a lot. Your sleep schedules are really, really whacked up. You know, the time away, you're not eating well. Maybe you're not eating on a good schedule. You're just grabbing whatever you can, because especially in I can tell you in the DC fire department, there was some very busy units there. If you're working on an ambulance or something, and you know, you're just grabbing food to go, and you might come back at, you know, at 2 a.m. and you grab one of those biscuits that were left over from breakfast just to get your, you know, some nourishment so you can go on the next run. And that's not good. So you have to focus on it. You have to pay attention. I think that's what kind of gets us in trouble, is we don't pay attention, for whether it's everything, whether it's home life, right? Whether you take that for granted, you take for granted that you're just going to grab something, a bite to eat real quick, and not paying attention to what it is. Whether it's you take for granted that your SCBA training that you had at rookie school can get you through. You take all that stuff for granted, and that's when we get into trouble. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, you're high strung about this, you're high strung about that. Well, there's a reason, right? Because I'm paying attention. I want to pay attention, because all of these things do matter.
Yeah. Let's talk about some great wisdom. You know, probably not to upset anyone that's not a Tom Brady fan, but you know, they say, Tom Brady, working with his coaches, he knows what he's going to have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 2 years from now. I mean, it's that methodical, it's that planned out. And it's because, you know, if you want to be at peak performance, and obviously, you know, in his case, he's talking about winning another ring. In our case, you know, it may be talking about not coming home at the end of the shift. So hopefully we gave some our listeners some food for thought, a lot of things to think about. Every journey begins with a first step, you know, I like to say. So, you know, if there's some areas at your department and you personally need to work on, you know, start that journey. It doesn't all have to turn around overnight, but it's not going to change unless you take that first step.
Let me add a piece on that real quick, is that, and I completely agree with you guys, is that when you talked about planning, about Tom Brady and things like that, one of the things I love teaching is this, I call it intentional planning. So it's just not that you plan for the week ahead or when you're going to exercise, like as you mentioned, Tony, on your 72-hour shift, what are you going to be doing? But it's intentional planning, as in, hey, what are the things in my life that I need to pay attention to? You know, what are my priorities? And then intentionally plan that, literally put it on the calendar, you know, get that stuff down. When are you going to do it? And I find that's very, very helpful for when you start thinking about it, what intentionality of it. And the other thing that you touched on, Todd, is that, you know, just get it moving forward, get it in the right direction, because as you guys know, the American culture is so much of an all or nothing. You know, we're all in, or we say screw it. And, you know, whether that is, I love sharing the example, Tony, of the paid gym memberships, right? You know, to go to a gym to work out, the paid gym memberships, I mean, they count on, you know, X number of people signing up for paid gyms, but then they want that, you know, they count on about 93% of those people not showing up after the first week or two, you know, because we fall for that. It's either a lot of times we tell ourselves, it's like, well, we have to be perfect. We say we're going to exercise 3 times a week. We need to do 3 times a week. And if we don't, a lot of times people say, screw it. You know, and I always try to get people to understand, it's like, hey, you know, are you moving in a better direction? You know, even if it's 2 times, if it's 1 time, it's better than nothing, you know? And so I see that quite a bit, is that we, you know, I think it's just the way the culture is. It's sort of that all or nothing, where I think if we can give ourselves some grace, some love, some kindness, you know, some self-forgiveness to say, hey, I'm still heading in a better direction than doing nothing.
Well, I think that over time, right, I do believe that you should look at, especially when you go to work, when you leave the next morning, what did you do to make yourself better than when you got there the day before. It doesn't have to be, well, I lost 10 pounds. Well, that's unrealistic, right? The fact that you got 1 second better on the time it took you to get dressed to get on the rig, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you ate one less. You had one less serving. You did one push away from the table, right? It's just do something. And again, like you said, whether it's the paid gym membership, like you said, people think that it's all or nothing. And the fact that if they didn't get 3 days, 2 days was not good enough. So, I mean, while I want you to be all in, I want you to be the 1% or firefighter or whatever, just get better than you were when you got there the day before.
Yeah.
I think that's what's so important. And like, again, like people think that, oh, when I do training, it has to be a 2-hour drill. No. You know, do a 10-minute drill, do a 10-minute practice. Just, or even if that people say, well, we did that last tour. Well, do it again this tour. Do it again this day. Because, again, it's not about me. It's not about checking the box. It's about being able to perform the service and doing it better than you did before.
Yeah.
And you can tie that into everything.
Mm-hmm. Todd, are you going to demonstrate the home COVID-19 test?
Yeah, for those of you that aren't in on this, I had to step away for a second, and Donnie was carrying the load there. Even though I'm fully vaccinated, and let me say, I encourage every one of my brother and sister firefighters to be vaccinated. I am traveling to the California Fire Chiefs Association, so we're all being tested as well, since we know that we're now seeing some breakthrough cases. Fortunately, it seems that the vaccines are doing what they were intended to do, which is to keep serious complications, hospitalizations, and ultimately deaths, to a minimum. And so that's what I was doing. So as you guys were conversing, I was having a little probe swab up both nears, but all's better now. She was very gentle.
Yeah. So how many I'm sure you probably are tracking how many COVID deaths has the fire service seen?
You know, I get a regular update, the IFC. Which as you know, Tony, I'm on the board for Safety, Health, and Survival, you know, has had their COVID task force. And I don't have the exact number in front of me, but it's a good amount. Obviously, you think about we're out there on the front lines being exposed repetitively. I know just here in Florida, where I'm at, we've probably had at least in the last month, a half a dozen first responders that have passed away, and it might even be more than six. I'm trying to keep up with them, and unfortunately, it seems the majority, if not all of them, are unvaccinated. So I know our friends at the General President Kelly at the IFF, has come out and encouraged their membership to be vaccinated. I know the IFC came out with a very strong position on, vaccination. And, it's not only peace of mind, but again, we're talking today about survival, and we've seen some, this virus really can do some damage to the human body. I know without transcending into a COVID episode, we've done some webinars with some of the research community on even some of the long-term implications to firefighters that have been exposed and what that may do to the pulmonary system and to the vascular system. But one thing we know for sure is the vaccines are what's going to prevent you from serious complications. So just from for our listeners, hope you consider seriously, if you're not vaccinated, consider that to protect not only yourself, but your family and those that you serve with.
Yeah, and when we did the May Day Monday for this month, I like to start the show off with giving respect to those that first for firefighters specifically who died in the month since the last time we did a May Day Monday recording. And I know I must have mentioned three COVID fatalities in that list of, I think, about 9 firefighters who passed away in the month of August. And then I saw just yesterday, I think there was a young guy, looked like from Phoenix, Arizona, who passed away from COVID. We recently had a fire inspector. He was an investigator, I'm sorry, but he was a fire investigator in DC who was going to retire. In fact, I think was building his home in Florida, was going to retire at the end of this year, and died of COVID.
Tragic. So
it's real. It's definitely happening. The tough thing, I think, right, is, and I think one of the reasons we're having a tough time maybe is there wasn't a vaccine available for a lot of that first year, right? There wasn't a vaccine available. And a lot of our firefighters, while they may have come down with COVID, they survived. So perhaps they then think they take it for granted. And then the vaccine may not help them. But I mean, we're definitely seeing that the vaccine is doing something.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, tragic, you know, your just heart goes out to, I mean, we see some, you know, the first responders that we're seeing are our age, you know, relative with families and children. And so, again, we certainly don't want to digress to a COVID show, but while we have this platform of opportunity and we're seeing the impacts continue, it's great to share some of that, you know, messaging. So thank you.
Well, it won't be a COVID show. It can be a May Day Monday.
Absolutely.
I mean, again, this is another way for us to survive the fire.
For sure. For sure. And maybe Donnie, this is an episode, you know, that move up on the release, you know, trajectory, just because it is so timely as well. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, listen, Tony, I want to thank you. Actually, shout out to our mutual friend, Bobby Halton, for connecting us together and giving us both platforms. I know I called Bobby one day and said, I've been talking about writing a book for the longest time. Haven't been able to pull it off, but you and I both know a bunch of people that can all come together. And Bobby was like, hey, run with it, man. Let me know what you need. I'll contribute. And just a wonderful friend of the fire service and great man. And glad he's given us both an opportunity. And I know he's done the same with Donnie as well.
He's been a really nice friend and really embraced my concept and has always encouraged me to continue pushing this message.
Yeah, same here. So here's to Chief Halton.
Shout out. Well, Tony, thank you for coming on. I wish you continued forward momentum in Louisa County. I look forward to seeing the continued progress that you and Chief Dubay make there, and look forward to continuing to listen to your podcast and encourage our audience to check out May Day Monday as well. And I'm sure have you back on Zoom. We'll continue the conversation. So thank you. Stay safe. Keep your family safe. And thanks for your service.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.